Let me go through the back door here. Pantry. Close it and lock it. We had a burglary the other day. Not in my house, but at the parish. There is a garage here under the sacristy. And that's where we keep all our garden equipment. We need that too. I'm actually walking through the garden. Through what hopefully will become a path. But we first need to get rid of a big tree that is parked there right in the middle and the center of where the path is going to be to the biking lane here. But anyway, so there we had this motorized grass mower. And they stole it in the night between Saturday and Sunday. And I do remember that I woke up. In fact, when I look at the statistics from my Apple Watch, I can see that I woke up at 3:20. And I remember that I thought I heard like a bang, as if a door was slammed. But everything was quiet. So I thought maybe I imagined it. Maybe it was just a dream. But it rattled me enough to have been awake, at least according to the statistics, for about 20 minutes, and then I fell back asleep. And so it turns out that was actually a real sound that I heard, and they were probably forcing the door of the garage or anything. It's unfortunate. So, but now I'm extra alert and making sure that my bike is always locked and the back door is always locked. Because, well, not that, you know, I don't have that much valuable stuff. Most of the, even the electronics that I use, the computers, etc., they're years old. So there's not much to steal there. But it's just the idea that someone breaks into your house and just gets access to your personal life. Something I want to avoid. It's the first time I see a car here on the graveyard. It's a small truck, and I guess it's just one of the guys who works here in maintenance. But normally the gate is never open because, well, you don't want cars to drive around on a graveyard. Anyway, so I have so much stuff to talk about today on the walk that I did something that I normally never have to do. I wrote it down here on this piece of paper because this has been one of the most busy weeks I've had since the beginning of this year. So much happened at once. So, but there is also a main topic I want to talk about, and that is, no matter how busy you are, don't give up on your long-term dreams. There's one lesson that I learned this past week. It is that. It's this renewed realization that if you concentrate and focus on everything that you have to do because it's urgent and it's important, you might actually forget that you had these bigger dreams, these bigger goals. And in my case, those big dreams have been put on hold very deliberately because I had so many of them, and they were blocking me from focusing on the here and now, on creating the kind of life that would enable me in the long run to realize those dreams. And this, of course, has to do also with what I've learned about how my brain works, which is always full of ideas. In fact, sometimes annoyingly so. So just to give you an idea, this morning I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and my brain just immediately switched on 100%. And so imagine this, I'm dreaming, I'm like kind of like the last phase of a sleep cycle. So I'm having this dream, I don't recall what it was. And all of a sudden there is a noise or something like that, probably traffic outside, because that's usually when rush hour starts, people go to work. So I wake up and I have this super detailed idea about a Dutch podcast that not only do I know exactly what kind of podcast that should be, but also why I should make it, why it's a, like an incredible opportunity, etc., etc., etc. And it's like so clear and so strong that I know that this is my brain going in overdrive. And it doesn't mean that I have to act on this. It doesn't even mean it's a good idea. But it does require me to write it down. Because otherwise, I'm going to hold on to that idea and I won't be able to go back to sleep. And I needed at least 2 more hours of sleep because the weekend has been extremely busy and I just need to get as much rest as I can get. So what I did was turn on the light, got my iPad, opened OneNote, and I just typed down whatever was on my mind. So it was just as an example, again, this is not necessarily something I'm going to do, but this is how detailed that plan was. So it was a plan for a Catholic podcast that would use the brand that we had developed a couple of years ago, which was called Catholic Today, but then in Dutch. And it would be a half-hour podcast, 25-minute podcast. And it would have 5 segments. One would be Catholic news, news from the Vatican. It would have a bit of catechesis, so a bit of, you know, a question related to faith. It would be a review of a book or a recommendation of a book. It would be a short interview, 5 minutes, just on Skype or via Zoom with someone who has developed a certain initiative in the Catholic Church in the Netherlands. And it would be, what else? I had another idea. Oh, yes, almost like a preview of the readings of that next Sunday. And I would create 5 jingles for that. It would require about 45 minutes of prep, 15 minutes of setup, recording the show just like I do with my other podcasts, and then just put it in a separate feed. I would then be able to promote that through my Dutch newsletter every week. I could even promote it several times per week because I write these diary entries multiple times per week. And it would also be a perfect kind of program to profile myself. I was like, is there something coming from my left foot? It's actually a guy using an electric grass mower to mow his wait a second, no. This is one you still have to walk around with. The one that was stolen was actually one that you sit on, you know, with it's like a small car. There's a big grass mower. Very old, by the way. I'm like so stunned that someone would want to steal a machine that is at least 20 years old. Oh well. I don't know, maybe it's a collector. The idea was to then use that also on social media, and it would be the only Catholic podcast right now in the Netherlands, because there were a few other Catholic podcasts that had sizable audience, but they stopped. So there was one about the Vatican by 2 Vatican watchers, and they stopped doing this because of some changes in their jobs, etc. So there's almost nothing in the Dutch language. And so everything that I'm currently telling you was already in my head the moment I woke up. Like, and because I was dreaming right before I woke up, that must have been my brain coming up with that within 2 or 3 minutes. So coming up with ideas, that's clearly something that my brain is very good at. But getting rid of ideas, that's the hard part. So I just wrote everything down, just as I told you. And that enabled me to go back to bed. Not immediately back to sleep, because I'd been writing down, you do activate certain processes in your body and in your brain. But so then I have my old routine of just listening to a very boring podcast. I think I was listening to I think Mac Break Weekly, which in itself is not a boring podcast, but especially the second part of that show usually tends to just draw out, and it's not the most interesting news that they discuss. And those podcasts can last for like an hour and 15 minutes and an hour and a half. And so, I don't know, there's something about that show that really puts me to sleep right away. And then I woke up two hours later and everything was fine. But anyway, why do I mention this? It's just to tell you that I'm always active. I'm always thinking about new things. And I've learned over time that how important it is to not act immediately upon that. It could be a good idea, by the way. And I still think that there is something maybe in this, especially if I can produce this in conjunction with all the other media effort, the effort that I'm putting in reestablishing a certain presence in the Dutch Catholic or Dutch-speaking Catholic sphere. But that's a discussion for another moment. Let me just summarize what happened this past week and why it was so busy. So last week when I recorded the walk, I already knew that that would be an important week because it would mark the launch of a press communique, a press release that wasn't released when I recorded the last episode of the walk, so I couldn't talk about it. But it was basically the announcement that I was one of the three new television presenters. Let me see, my Apple Watch knows that I'm walking, so might as well just record this walk. So I'm one of the three television presenters, host of a TV program that's been around for more than 10 years. It is called something like Conversations on Faith. And the host has been the same person for all those years. He's conducted more than 700 interviews about what motivates people on the level of their faith and how they put that into practice. But he's retiring, and so they were looking for a new host or multiple hosts. And that's ultimately what they ended up doing. So I had to do screen tests and an application and everything. Despite the fact that, of course, I've had my share of TV experience in the past. But for this, they wanted to make sure that everyone went through the same admission process. And so all of that was taking place, well, probably 2 months ago already. But I couldn't speak about it because, of course, this podcast is a public one and they didn't want that stuff to leak out. And so I was selected together with two other people. One is a woman who is teaching Bible studies at the university. She actually was one class ahead of me in secondary school, so I know her pretty well. And the second host is a Dominican priest who is currently the head of the Dominican community in the town of Rotterdam. And so we have the same age, more or less. So we are in our early 50s. Well, actually, I'm halfway my 50s, but we're all like 50-something. And I'm the only one who actually has television experience. The Dominican priest has quite a bit of radio experience, and he did voiceovers before he became a Dominican, so he was a journalist and a news presenter on the radio. So definitely someone who has a lot of experience in interviewing people. So that press release then generated a ton of reactions and also interview requests. So I did a lot of interviews, and this also, and I did not plan this in advance, happened to be the same week that I was launching my Lenten book, or booklet. It's actually it's 88 pages. So yeah, I think you can call that a booklet. But my guide to Lent, inspired by Tolkien and with AI illustrations. And so I also did a number of interviews, sometimes with the same newspaper, about that initiative. And then all of a sudden everything started to collide. And I was in certain newspapers. I was mentioned like twice or three times in a row. It was a bit much. But anyway, it is definitely good to get the word out about this TV show, about the importance of our Catholic message in the national and international media. But I have to say, the interviews that were already published about my Hobbit guide to Lent were extremely benevolent and kind and fun to read, fun to do and fun to read. And I have some more articles coming in the next week. So, and then plus, I also had to promote the booklet, The Guide to Lent, because the underlying strategy for me was to help people migrate from the social networks where they encounter me to my email newsletter database, so I can stay in touch with people even if algorithms decide to, you know, move away from my content for whatever reason. And so it's definitely something that is important for my overall long-term strategy when it comes to creating community on the internet. And it worked. I already have hundreds of new signups for the newsletter, both the Dutch version and the English version. And I've started to spend time every day to write new stories for that newsletter. I don't publish them every day, but that's because, first of all, I don't want to overdo it in the beginning. And also because not every story that I write down is good enough. I'm very picky when it comes to the variety of topics that I want to address and also the quality of the story. But I'm getting the hang of it. And I have to say, this is just a totally new thing for me, writing on a daily basis. But it's so much fun and it's so liberating to only have to write a short story instead of having to write an entire book. I'm extremely happy with that strategy and also how much it's actually giving me energy instead of costing me energy. So all that happened at once. I did some coaching this past week. And it's not just the coaching, right? When I coach people, I also afterwards summarize the entire conversation and I process it. So I create a summary of everything that we talked about. I add some of my thoughts afterwards. I give suggestions as to what follow-up actions could be. So a lot of that is it's like every hour, you could say, of coaching takes at least 3 or 4 hours of preparation and kind of post-production, you could say. Especially because this is still a relatively new endeavor for me. So all this has kept me more than a little busy. I was happy that I was able to record my podcast as usual. I also continued working on the website and writing texts and putting the remainder of the missing episodes. Hey, buddy. Big dog. Labrador, clearly. Super enthusiastic. Exercise ring closed. Good. What was I saying? The only other thing that I wanted to do, but I just couldn't do it, was to create new videos for TikTok. And this is, for me, clear that has to become the same kind of routine as my writing. For my writing, I have this weekly or this daily routine where I write in the morning. It's one of the first things I do after I had breakfast. I just sit down and I write a story. And I want to have that same easy routine, because I give myself just an hour to write a story like that. And sometimes I've written it in 10 minutes sometimes. But it's also because I don't push myself too hard to make it perfect. I'd rather create the routine and then maybe pick and choose the stories that I actually want to send, instead of putting the bar too high so that every writing exercise becomes a chore. And I know that I have to do the same with the TikTok videos. It's just important for me to do it step by step and not try everything at once, because then I risk creative burnout. So another thing that happened was last Sunday I was in the main church in Wageningen, south of where I live, for Mass, and I don't even know how I got to talk to a number of parishioners about my situation. Oh, I remember. I was asked to write an article in the parish bulletin, which comes out every 2 or 3 months, about my work in the media. And this was a request by the parish itself and by the parishioners, because they know that I work in the media. That is my main job. And my work in the parish is kind of volunteering. So they're curious to know what I do as a media priest. And since I already had this idea of writing this regular newsletter diary type of stories, I figured I might as well publicize that in the parish bulletin and write one of those stories and then tell people that if they want more of these stories, they can sign up for my newsletter. But my first article came out about 2 weeks ago, and a lot of the parishioners read it, and they were stunned to learn that I wasn't paid for my media work, that everything I do 100% is made possible by my patrons, by monthly donors, and that's it. I have no other sources of income. And after Mass, a number of parishioners told me how bewildered they were by that, by learning that. They all thought that my diocese was paying for my media work, because, what's their reasoning, isn't that just all evangelization, what you do? Isn't this missionary work? I said, yeah, sure, but it's just this is the construction. So, like, they are willing to free me up for this kind of work, but they are unwilling to finance it, and they trust me to gather the funds to do this. And then one lady told me, I'm going to talk to my husband and he may be able to help you. And he just get in touch with him. Well, I'll put you in touch with him. And he's got experience in this field of, you know, he's got organizational experience, and I'm sure that he'll be able to help. So her husband gets in touch with me last week, and I invited him to come over on Friday, this last Friday, to just share with him my situation, and then he would just think about it and see how he could help me. Turns out he is someone who has worked in multiple national organizations, also I think a governmental organization, on the level of how can we create durable, how can we future-proof the way in which we live together as a country. So it's all, he himself I think has a background agriculture and animal management, etc. Right before he retired, he had been working for several years in creating support in the society to bring multiple organizations together to reflect on how we can create forms of collaboration in when it comes to living, for instance, and building houses, etc. All those different aspects, including the way in which we grow our food, etc. And by bringing together all these different organizations, he was able to create energy and enthusiasm. But he didn't know anything about my work. So I was giving him a summary of what I've been doing since, well, 1996, basically, when I was ordained a priest. And I started to create the Star Wars-related website, and how I got into podcasting, and what I studied in Rome, and now what I'm doing on social media, on YouTube and TikTok. And he was very stunned to hear just how many ideas I had been working on for the duration of my work as a priest. And also, he was asking me about, so what would you like to do? So what are the things that you would like to do if you had no restrictions, if you had no barrier, if there was money enough, if you had people enough, what would you do then? What would you do differently? What would you continue to do, etc.? And so, during that brainstorm, I told him about these long-term plans, and I told him about my dream, for instance, to create television programs, international television programs, where I would bring together faith and for instance, travel or food and cooking. And all these ideas that I've had for years came back to me. And they are all on hold. So I was telling him about a series that I would love to make about the importance of modern-day storytelling. So how movies like Star Wars and franchises like Marvel or Disney, or you name it, even the anime world, how in all these different fandoms you see this, the power of storytelling, and how much it impacts people, and how you could use that to transmit values and ideals and bring people together. So to connect people around a fandom that maybe in day-to-day life may have a totally different lifestyle, maybe different opinions, vote for different political parties, but these stories bring people together where oftentimes, especially today, politics and just the way the media work tend to separate people from one another and emphasize the differences. Stories have an incredible bonding power. So I was pitching this idea that I had about doing that with Star Wars and just traveling the world and showing how these stories connect with the tradition of the church and are often inspired also by Christian values and religious values. Another idea that I had was to, because he asked me, how many languages do you speak? Is this something you could do in English how big is your market, basically? And I said, well, my second native language is French. I speak it as a native speaker, without an accent, without anything. So I can flip the switch, continue in French, and I won't even realize that I'm speaking French. And I remembered that I had this idea of traveling in France and going from parish to parish, staying in each parish for 1 or 2 days, and follow the local priest and film what he's eating and what he's cooking, or maybe the person that takes care of the kitchen, what they are cooking, what they're eating, basically. And then while I'm there, I would follow him. We would get groceries. I would go on, you know, the pastoral visits and when he's celebrating Mass, etc. And in between all these moments of that person's life, I would ask about his passion and how he became a priest and why, what makes his life so worthwhile. So it would basically a vocations video disguised as a cooking show. Because there's all the romantic nature of being in France and the French cuisine and just the language, to hear the accent, the French accent. I was thinking about the book that I read recently about Jacques Pépin, who is a French chef. I read his autobiography. And I'm thinking, this is the kind of style, you don't, this is so French. And at the same time, it's extremely pleasant to read, and it really makes you want to cook. But these people have such great stories to tell. So anyway, like, that is a television series that I think would have a massive success. And is a totally different way of telling a very religious story about vocation, about the priesthood today, but telling it in a language that everybody can relate to. Who doesn't like French cuisine, you know? Who doesn't want to live in France, if only for the duration of each episode? You know, I just feel in my bones that's a show that I would watch religiously. So anyway, that's another idea. And so I went on, and in the end, I had about 6 or 7 big ideas that were all on hold. And I explained also why they were on hold. It is because I've learned that I tend to want to do everything at once. And then ultimately, I quickly stop realizing these ideas. Anybody? He's a labradoodle, I think. It's way too big for a doodle. Is that a labradoodle?
Yes, it is.
I thought so. Beautiful. Wonderful. You always recognize them. They're like, they look like a poodle, but they're so massive, but very friendly. Anyway. What was I saying? I got distracted. I could do something about animals and zoos and faith. There's so many ways in which you can make these connections. So I explained to him, one of the issues that I struggle with is if I try to do everything at once, I won't do anything well enough. And I explained that one of my current focus is very much on continuing what I do on social media, plus passing it on, teaching other people how they can do the same, hence the coaching and the teaching. That is, for me, essential to put that in place. And it's also fun. I've really discovered how much this is something that I love to do. And but I told him also about how I would love to travel to other countries and to set up a pilot. And actually, I already have some ideas of where I could start to train parish volunteers and pastors and maybe even bishops to better communicate, to use the power of social media and storytelling to bring people together. And then he was quite overwhelmed, and he totally did not expect such a broad vision and such a broad scope of big ideas. But he said, like, all these ideas are golden ideas. And you really have to write them down. Don't keep this just in your head. And don't tell yourself that that's never going to happen because you need all your focus and energy for the things that you're doing now. What you need is an organization that facilitates those dreams, that brings together the money, the resources, and the people that can realize these golden ideas. And he said the second thing was you have to put them in one overall vision. And that was difficult because in my mind, they're all separate projects. And I could lose a year just doing that cooking show, for instance. But he said that they need to be part of one general vision that brings all these different ideas together, but that is easy to explain. And in our back and forth discussion, we ultimately came up with this idea or this conviction that all these ideas are part of the same desire that to reach out as a church, to, instead of being stuck in this attitude where, unfortunately, a lot of churches are in right now, is like everybody has to come to us. Why don't people come to church? Instead, the mindset that we need to propagate with these projects is, don't wait for people to come to you. Go to the people. Engage, enter into a dialogue with society. Bring your message to the ends of the world. And that's how your message will continue. But if you wait until they come to you, you can wait forever. It's not going to work. And he actually said that that was exactly the kind of mindset paradigm shift that happened in his work in the last few years of his job. Is that originally the mentality was, well, why doesn't society take more action when it comes to the preservation of the environment? Why don't they see what we see as experts? Why don't they see the negative consequences of our current way of treating our society and our nature and everything? But he said that's basically the you have to come to us mindset. And in his work, one of his priorities was to bring people together and make them co-responsible for this effort and let people talk to each other about, so how can we realize this and how can we help each other? And he said, this is what you need. You need a group of people that may not necessarily be part of your target audience, but definitely people that share that vision and have expertise and maybe also have resources to make that happen. And then he proposed, like, my job can be to make that happen, to go out there and talk to people, bring them together, and then we'll continue. And we're going to take it easy. We're not going to, you know, we're going to take our time. But I know that you need this kind of help. I cannot tell you how incredibly motivating that encounter was and how much I felt like, oh, this is something different. I do have, of course, my advisory board of Tridio, which has been tremendously important to keep me on track. But those are people working full time. It's a very small board right now. And this is much more of a action-based type of group. It's not really advisory, but more a facilitating group or unit inside the organization. So, but the most important thing that I retain from that encounter is the realization that I should have never given up on those dreams. And that, yes, it is actually, there is an incredible potential, and if you write down those ideas in an overall vision of these are ways in which the church can become more missionary, that can generate a lot of enthusiasm and also a lot of help. Because he's not at all a media person, but he was super excited about the ideas that I pitched. And he's like, I would watch all those programs. I would totally, you know, be on board with that. And he said, if that's the effect that you have on me, then I'm sure that we can have that same effect on others as well. So the challenge is, write down, write a booklet in which you pick the six best ideas that you have, the golden ideas, and you visualize it. So it doesn't have to be a plan. It needs to be a vision. What does that look like? What's the end result? What's the effect it's going to have? What's the audience that we'll bring together? And then with that booklet, with that, you know, collection of dreams, we're going to look at what is necessary to make them happen, to realize them. I've stepped out of the woods here and I'm now on this road. So let's hope there's no sidewalk or anything. So I got to be a bit careful with the traffic. And that would be my advice to you as well. If you have those dreams, those big dreams, or you may have had them, but you kind of forgot about them because there's just so much day-to-day stuff. If they stay at the stage of just being a dream, maybe one day then they will always stay there. That you won't be able to get any closer to those dreams. But if you tell yourself that dreams could be, certain dreams have the potential to bring things in motion, to generate energy. If you pursue them, and you need to do that with care and advice and maybe with the help of others, this is one of the things that I do as a coach, is that my role is to help people realize their dreams and to show them what they can do to make them happen based on my experience. But it means that I, too, should constantly keep those dreams in front of me, because those are pulling me forward. They make me want to strive to become better, to learn, to reach for things. If you don't reach, you don't grow. Let me step away from the road here, because it's really dangerous. I don't understand why this village lacks any type of sidewalk. So that would be my advice. Don't wait too long with those dreams. Of course, you have to discern if this is this really my vocation, and that's where I think it's important to pray and to talk with others, to get advice, to write things down also, because you want to separate between a genuine good idea and, let's say, a temporary obsession, a temporary thing. I've sometimes have those moments where I was like, oh, I'm going to play this or that video game, and I'm hyper optimistic about how much time or how little time it takes to play through that game, and I totally forget about all the other things that I have to do in life, as in groceries, cleaning the kitchen, and cooking and sleeping. So sometimes I get way too optimistic about certain ideas that I have. But these long-term dreams are of a different nature. And if you constantly tell yourself, oh, that's never going to happen, that's impossible, I can't possibly do this, this is just a pipe dream, you may actually be giving up on golden ideas that, with a little bit of help from a coach or from other people, you might be able to realize. You could do so much more than you think you can.